Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, I got a little different question for you this week. What you been doing all week? Oh, my goodness. This has been some kind of week. And it ain't been an It's Due Time with Pastor Steph week. No. No, it hasn't been. Pastor Steph has been under the weather. Some craziness went on and couldn't get on one morning. And oh, my. But I'm sure all of us can declare that despite it all, God is amazing. Oh, let me hear an amen, amen, and amen. We're talking about the wonderful, magnificent, just a God that comes through at all times, a God that will make something out of nothing, a God who will turn things around, a God who will make the crooked straight, a God who will just keep doing and doing, a God who blesses us even when we don't deserve to be blessed, a God who makes us well when we're ill, a God that, man, you just can't see coming at times. God is just, So although we have not been together pretty much all week, I know he's been doing something wonderful in your life. I know it. I know, because, see, he wouldn't be God if he didn't. Even though the things that we may have asked for have not come through yet, maybe some of the things that we've been asking for and waiting on, maybe we ain't even supposed to have. But God continues to do, and he continues to do, and he just continues to do. A God that we have to thank when he says no. Yeah, you know, sometimes you remember when your mother would tell you no, you get all mad and all pouty and, you know, you just like wished her dead and all kinds of things. You know, I never wished my mother dead, but I've heard some people say things like that, you know, I hate her. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, sometimes they gave us an answer that we didn't want. Sometimes they gave us an answer that we didn't think we deserved. Sometimes, you know, they gave us an answer when we really, really, really wanted something, and she said no, or dad said no, and we were all twisted. And then you managed to do without it. Remember that? Yeah. Or you wanted something because your friends had it, or the people in the school had it, or other people you knew had it, and they seemed so happy, and, you know, they were jumping up and down, and, you know, you didn't have, and you were like, why can't I have that? And God was like, no, because that's not for you. Yeah, I'm talking about that, God. I'm talking about that God that makes you sit and go, wow, wow, God. I'm talking about that God when he saw you doing wrong and should have smashed you. And the Bible says that he chastises those he loves. And you know he does, because the Bible also tells you that he doesn't handle us according to our iniquities. So that is definitely a loving God. When you thought you were smashed, and that was only like 50%. Imagine if he threw in the other 50% that he purposely held back because he knew it would destroy you, and destroying you was not his goal, but correcting you or rerouting you or setting you straight was the goal, and so that's how he handled you. Or he could have let that happen, but he left that intact and he did this with this, or allowed this to happen. And thank God he allowed this to happen, because had that happened, man, we can go on and we can go on and we can go on and we can go on. And, you know, was that your week? That's the question. Where you been? What you been doing? Is that your week? Is that your testimony? Can you tell that story? Can you tell that story? Well, through it all, God is good. God is good. God is good. You know, I'm not feeling 100% as I'm moving around a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of twinging here and there, but if you know, when I can give to God, I give to God. I can't hold back. You know, I can't lay around and, you know, just think. Listen, the show must go on, right? The show must go on. So I'm going to take my little twinges and uncomfortability, and I'm going to give it back to God and see what he decides to do with it. But, you know, we really have no other recourse but to serve God properly. We really don't. God just does way too much for us to, you know, be all mopey. And, you know, it's okay. You know, you can get there. You can get there. You know, the Lord didn't say we can't get there, but we can't stay there. We can't stay there. Because if we look around, and when we look around, we just see the awesomeness of God. And that awesomeness of God should really make us stand up and just give him glory out of our life. And, you know, just understand that we just owe him everything. We owe him the best. And, you know, we got to lay all our sensitivities to the side. We got to lay the weight that besets us to the side. You know, in my studying this week, God is marvelous. I tell you, just the stuff that he gives you. And I was like, okay, God, I get it. I hear you in your word. I hear you in my reading. I hear you in my studying. I hear you talking to Stephanie. Now, you got to be able to say the same thing. I hear you, God. I hear you. I hear you talking. And, you know, just understanding God is big. Yeah, that's big. You know, because I think about when Moses was told to do one thing. He didn't do it that way, but he did it another way. And water came from the rock. And, I always talk about this, results. Water came from the rock. And most times when water comes from the rock and we need water from the rock and we're expecting water to come from the rock, we think everything is okay. We think everything is settled. We think everything is good. We think, okay, you know what? I'm on this path. I'm supposed to get on this path. I'm supposed to stay on this path. But we don't always understand that there's sometimes a bigger message. And that's what my studying was doing this week, helping me understand that there's a bigger message. And I know I did that, but I did that not for this reason, but I did it for that reason. And that's why we need to stay close to God, because, again, sometimes we're just looking at the water coming from the rock and we're like, okay, well, yes, I got water. And we're off on our own and our own beliefs and our own understanding. But in actuality, God has something else planned for us. And that's what my studying did today. I mean, this week, rather. And, you know, just grateful to God that although I wasn't feeling well, that, again, I always tell y'all, he ain't do nothing with that brain. And he was just hitting me all week. Every opportunity I had to study, I was just, like, speechless, because I was like, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for loving me so much that you would give me this. Thank you for loving me so much that you could help me focus on what you want to say to me. Thank you, God, for loving me so much that I get the true essence of what you're saying. I'm not on path B when I need to be on path F, because I'm thinking one way, but yet, you know, because I'm so focused, I don't get, you know, what you really want. So, you know, that's why I come to you this morning. My God is amazing, because he does so much with us, and we need to just stand and allow God to do, you know, I always tell you, position yourself for God to do the greatest in you that he possibly can, because that's his plan, to extract the greatest out of you. So, you know, I'm just like celebrating God this morning and giving him the glory for all that he has done for us. Amen? Amen. So, we about to get Freestyle Friday going. Yes, it is the end of the week, and again, because God is so great, we're in it. Woo! We're on this side of the fence. We're on this side of the grave. We're on this side of life. We can attest to how great God is. He has brought us through again and again and again all week and has allowed us to get to this point. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go and get that healthy breakfast. I'm going to give you an opportunity to go and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Irritable bowel syndrome can affect women more than men, although men do have it. Symptoms would include a pattern of altered bowel habits like diarrhea, constipation, abdominal bloating, abdominal pain, abdominal cramping, gas, a sense of incomplete evacuation, and a combination of all of the above. In addition, it occurs over a certain amount of time, and that's what qualifies it as being irritable bowel syndrome. Oftentimes, people can have an incidence of diarrhea or constipation episodically, but if we start to see a pattern where this is a regular phenomenon that someone is experiencing, then they should seek medical attention for that. You shouldn't be afraid to seek any medical attention for those symptoms. Oftentimes, there are treatments we can give patients that will make them feel better. So don't be afraid to come and talk to us.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Ooh, God has brought us through. And we're giving him the glory and the honor today for doing just that. So, let's get our chatter started. So, last week, Friday, we ended up stumbling across this reboot for Good Times. Remember, I sent everybody to go look at the trailer for this, as they call it, reboot, and see what they think of what they were offering us. They meaning Netflix. It's going to be a Netflix animated episodic thing. And for those of you who have not seen it, but remember Good Times, it was an interesting concept. And one of the things that I did think about that did cross my mind was all of the majority of the cast is still living. So we know Esther Rowe is no longer with us. Janae Dubois is no longer with us. But we definitely still have John Amos. We have Jimmy Walker. We have Ralph Carter. We have Bernadette Stannis. We have Janet Jackson. I don't know if Bookman, Johnny Brown, is still living, but we definitely have all the others. And I was wondering, what did they think of this whole reboot thing and the fact that it was going to be animated and the fact that, you know, they took the struggles of the Evans family to an entirely, oh my goodness, to a whole different level. And, you know, the viewers are really in an uproar because they have always seen Good Times as some, you know, if you will, coming of age. This Norman Lear was responsible for major work back in the 70s. And, you know, they thought that this was a breakout comedy show that, you know, a breakout show that, you know, really showed the struggle of the black family. It was actually written by two black individuals, and we know one of them, Damon Evans from, what do you call it, the Jeffersons, helped to do. They were the creators and the writers of this particular show. And, you know, some people thought it was extreme back then and so forth and so on. But, you know, it wasn't what they're making it out to be now, the struggle. And I just got to hit thank you so much. I can always rely on my Due Time listeners. Bookman died back in 2022. So, he hasn't been gone from us too long. So I was wondering, I wonder what the original cast members think. So I actually stumbled upon an article last night where James and Thelma, John Amos and Bernadette Stannis, actually commented. And John Amos says, you know, Norman Lear, and the entire cast and company set the bar pretty high. They'll have a hard time reaching that level of entertainment and education. And I'm assuming he's talking about the education of the plight of, you know, the black man, if you will. I wish them the best. I see people aspiring to that, but I don't see anybody reaching the goal, especially in an animated version. He says, I really can't form an opinion on the animated reboot as I've not seen any of the episodes yet. So, you know, my thought was, you ain't got to see the episodes. You can see the trailer. Trailer doesn't say good. Trailer doesn't say equivalent to The Good Times We Know. Trailer doesn't say, I can't wait to have a reboot of, The Good Times, because this is going to be a nice continuation or even a nice picturesque of what the Evans family looks like in 2024 versus 1974. This is 50 years later. So I'm sorry, James. You just, you know, may not want to say it, but ain't no way in the world. Because here's the thing. John Amos left Good Times because he felt that they were not depicting the family that him and Esther Roll were hoping to show. They wanted to show, you know, a full family, a family with both parents. They wanted to show two working parents. They, you know, they got kind of tired of that struggle. You know, James never came out of the struggle. James never could get a good job. James could never help to put his family at a place where they would be comfortable. And, you know, back in the 70s, you know, that's what they really were hoping to do. And because, you know, they didn't accomplish that, he opted to leave. Yeah, not only did, you know, he opt to leave for that, but also there was some, this him and Esther Roll, they say behind the scenes, had issue with the focus initially supposed to be on the mother and the father, and it ended up being on JJ, which was like, you know, remember, he was supposed to be the dummy, and, you know, he did have this art, you know, work he wanted and this artistic ability, but just like nothing really stood out about Junior, if you will. And they, you know, it's like, well, why would you put all the attention on that? So, but again, they have black writers. They have black writers. They have black creators. So, you know, these people, you know, they were the ones who had the vision for this Good Times. Now, Bernadette Stannis says, a lot of times you use a certain name to open up the door for a new show. That could be what it is, but I'm sure a lot of people will be a little confused at first because they have to think that it's us. They think, oh, my God, that's got to be Thelma, JJ, and Michael. And then you come in there and you don't see anything like that. And she said she did a little voiceover for them, but it was for a very small role. But all in all, she said she thought it would be different. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't think it would be different? There's no way in the world, based on what this trailer portrays, that, you know, you wouldn't think it would be different. No way in the world. No way in the world. You know, you would definitely believe that, you know, y'all gonna come back 50 years later with a drug-dealing baby. And I took the time to look at the trailer again last night, and I was like, really, y'all? They had the people shooting. Yes, 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 yes. They had the people shooting across, like, from window to window. And, you know, so of course, you know, you having been a part of an iconic, you know, an iconic show, you're not going to be thinking that, you know, they're coming back with this. So, you know, I would really, really, you know, we've been doing, what do you call this thing? My Two Cents video. And it's not based on Christian shows like we do in the morning. We've been doing the Christian shows in the morning, but we've been doing regular TV on video. And next week it actually airs. And I got to say, I got to see this because we're going to talk about this on, you know, on My Two Cents. Before we go, on that note, there is an article that, what's her name? Now, J.B. Smooth, Yvette Nicole Brown are both going to be the voices in this sitcom, this cartoon. And remember now, this is supposed to be James's, I believe, his grandchildren. And to think that you left this nonsense behind. Well, I also stumbled across an article from Nicole Brown. Now, let me tell you who she is. For those of you who saw the New Edition story, she was the one who played Michael Bivins' mother. And you've seen her around. You've definitely seen her around. She's on Nickelodeon. Disney. She plays the principal on one of those shows. And she's a pretty good actor. Well, I have to tell you, she is actually defending this nonsense. You know, and part of me understands the whole defense thing. You know, everybody's like, what are you doing? How could you be a part of this? They're criticizing this show. And she's like, you know, I believe in it. I believe in this reboot. I believe that it shares. Here's her quote. It's called Good Times because it was championed by Norman Lear. He was excited to update the story and use the freedom of animation to point out what still isn't fair and equitable to black folks. That is what we do with this show. I've spent my whole life shining a light on the things that matter and calling out the systems that keep a boot on our necks. At times, I take parts in projects that do the same, even if they are irreverent or risky. Coming for me as if that's wrong is a fool's errand. Listen, here's the thing. People have their opinion. And we always question why the Evans family never made it out of the ghetto. You know, I remember the very last episode, Florida and her family had applied to this housing these new buildings or whatever the situation was, and they were going to move. And when they made the announcement to Wilona said, I just applied over there, and we got accepted too. So that was a celebration when they were closing. That's how the show closed. Well, if they made it out the ghetto, how in the world do we come back with this garbage? And for you to say that, you know, this is what you've done, you know, you've been acting in things that, you know, that matter and so forth and so on, then do something different. Then insist. Okay. Shanti says I got the story backwards. Well, they were getting up out the ghetto. That's the point. So my thing is, yo, if you're a black actor, and we've been doing this this My Two Cents, and we were talking last night about the black shows, and you know how you know, everybody saying, well, you know, I'm tired of looking at another drug show from us. And we need more diversity on TV, in the movies, so forth and so on. So my thing is, this is surely not depicting anything good, anything positive. I'm sure, you know, if you feel you had that type of pull, you would not be talking about, you know, people with disability checks. And one of the lines in the trailer was somebody was in the, I think it was the 10th grade or some grade for the third time. And, yeah, it's Wanda Sykes' voice. She's also a voice in this. She plays a teacher. And, you know, she's talking about how somebody has repeated the same grade. That was JJ's plight. You know, and the infant with the pacifier who's dealing drugs and counting money in the high chair. Yo, this, you really can't tell me you are proud of this. You really can't tell me you're proud of this. As an educated black woman, you cannot tell me that you are proud of this work. Stop. Stop and stop again. So, like I said, we're going to get this party going next week. It airs on the 12th, and we are definitely going to talk about it and see what everybody thinks. So plan to join us. We still got one more show set movies to review before the Writers Guild Awards are presented, and that's the 14th. So that's next week, Sunday. So, you know, we got some stuff to talk about, y'all. We got some stuff to definitely talk about, and this is going to be one of the things we talk about. So, where do we go with the news this morning? I did get some, you know, interesting, if you will, news stories. Well, Diddy is back in the news, and you know, we do our Diddy thing on Fridays, talking about that, and we definitely going to bring that up this morning. But I want to talk about some other stuff. Well, let's talk about the fact that these two people, a couple, out in North Carolina, they decided to open up a children's bookstore. So this is a black-owned children's bookstore. And it's in downtown Raleigh. And, you know, we talked before about something that the black people wanted to do, and then when you looked up, the other side of the fence was just like in an uproar, and we can't figure out what their issue is. Well, this is a mess here. So they said, this couple, the Millers, they said that they wanted to just get some books out there that their children could read that were positive books. So what they did was they started selling books out of their trunk. And then after a while, they opened up a brick and mortar. You know, they got this little store going. And they said that when they opened the store, things just went sideways. They said they've been receiving numerous threats after they opened up the store. They say some of the threats, you know, they were able to brush off, but they said other threats were really disturbing. They got phone calls, and they said that they were telling them that they were watching one of the sons in the store and could tell them what he was wearing and what he was doing. So that, of course, that was disturbing. Who wants to know that somebody's watching you like that? They tried to, you know, work around the hours of the store. They switched the hours. They took turns kind of watching over the store. And they said the hate mail and the death threats. You cannot get me to move down south. Y'all can have it. We deal enough with it here in New York. I am not. Can you imagine the hatred? I'm trying to remember what was the last thing. And for those of you who are listeners, help refresh my memory because I haven't got a whole bunch of stuff in my head. What was the thing that it was so silly, but the people were threatening them down south? Now, these people, it is a what we would call a mom and a pop shop of children's books. That's it. That is it. They are now moving. Yeah. They're trying to find another location. And they said, you know, despite the fact that they are closing after the 13th of April, they say they're going to donate all of their inventory to nonprofit literacy programs in the Raleigh area. But they're moving, and they're trying to find a new place to set up. And this is disgusting. This is literally disgusting. And I'm sorry. Listen, wherever we go, we're going to have problems. Yeah. I got all of that. However, I ain't going down south. Y'all can have it. I don't care how much people talk about it. It's cheaper. I don't care how much people talk about, oh, I can get the amount of money that we pay for houses here. We can get a mansion. Go ahead, have your mansion. Because anytime these people cannot open up a simple children's book store, that's it. They're not running drugs. They're not selling alcohol. They're not having rap parties. All the other things that people could complain that they're bringing down, you know, their the area or the town. Yo, y'all, no. I'm sorry. You know, I was reading somewhere yesterday and the day before where some artist or somebody, entertainer, was saying that, you know, racism doesn't exist. Where are you? What planet are you living on? Because as far as I can see, it hasn't gone anywhere. Anywhere. Oh, my goodness gracious. What else are we talking about? This mountain. All right, y'all. All right. So, you know our Eric Adams has got to stay in the news. Stay in the news. So, okay, you know this, we've been talking about this Rikers Island business and how, you know, he's been begging to hold on to Rikers so that the feds don't take over, blah, blah, blah. Well, he and Al Sharpton took a visit to Rikers on Good Friday, and there were some baptism candidates there. And Al Sharpton and another pastor, I think this is a female pastor. I've never heard of her before. But she was there with them, and they baptized some of the inmates. And Eric Adams decides that, and I want to get his wording correct, he says, I recommitted myself to my faith, to our city, and shared efforts to give all New Yorkers a chance to succeed. You know my journey. I went from being arrested to being elected mayor. I use that story to remind these young men that where they are is not who they are. And that was nice. He also wrote, he also said, and that for the first time in their lives, they had a mayor who does not look down on them, but rather sat side by side with them as we recommit ourselves to the right path. So he got baptized over there on Rikers Island with the inmates. Now, I'm yawning. I'm sorry. Do your thing. Do your thing. This ain't gonna undo all the garbage. This, let me tell you something else. We have not discussed it, and I had this set up, and I haven't gotten there. He's also been charged. Oh yeah, his name has come up in some sexual thing, and we're gonna get to it. Hopefully, I can squeeze it out next week. But yeah, surprise, surprise. You wanna go get baptized. You were already baptized, but you're going to get yourself recommitted to your faith, to your city, and help these people see. Whatever. So what? I'm not moved. You have a big mess on your hands. You're saying that they for the first time they get to see a mayor. Do what? What have you done for us lately? The first time, why don't you just go ahead and say it? You want to see a black man? No, you haven't done anything, and I think you've been a big disappointment to the people of New York City. I have not heard one person, and I mean not a one, raise a hand. If you're sure about Mayor Adams, ever since he's been in the chair, and you know we've heard from the beginning, oh well, you know you got to give him a chance. Oh, he's had a chance. Oh, you know he has so much there's so much expectations because he's black. So you knew this going into that area, that people would be looking at you with great expectation, which is why you were voted in. Okay? Dinkins had his time. You got your time. And I have to tell you, everybody who started out with, oh, everybody's being too hard on him and, you know, give him a chance, they are not singing that song now. Not singing that song now. They do feel that there's much more that he could have done with this migrant situation. People are not happy that they cannot apply and receive benefits that they need greatly, that we as New Yorkers have to fight for these benefits, but yet you're giving free money for food, and people who have been living here who pay taxes cannot eat. They're struggling, pinching pennies. No. Mm-mm. And the list goes on. So the fact that you went over there to Rikers Island and got baptized with 11 other people because you want to rededicate, yo, that's just, what do they call it? Publicity stunt, but it's the other thing I can't think of the word that they say. But nah, you can hold on to that story. No, that's not, that ain't moving. Ain't moving, Stephanie. I don't know about anybody else. We'll see what the men say. All right. So, I'm going to see if I could squeeze this one in really quickly while our men get themselves together. We got one person on, so I'm going to squeeze this last story in. So, the Lord always says, in the Bible, vengeance is mine, right? Right. And time again, we talk about this thing, let God do his thing. Let God do his job, you know, because you can't do God's job. And every time we make a move, we always come up short. We always get in trouble. And that's we people, not we on one side of the fence or the other. So out in Georgia, there's a mother who came across a video back in March of 2020. She they say allegedly, found a video of her 12-year-old daughter being sexually abused by some 22-year-old man. Now, there's no word on if this was, you know, sometimes these little girls kind of leave the house and, you know, they end up there. It's not like they were, like, kidnapped or, you know, something like that, or, you know, taken from the family, or she was missing at one point. It doesn't say any of the backstory. All it says is that the mama found the video of her 12-year-old being sexually abused by the 22-year-old, okay? So that we all know where that would put us, okay? So she turns the video over to the police department, and they warn her, don't let your anger get the best of you, okay? And it's probably because of the way she turned it over. You know, it's like, hey, you know, this is what y'all going to do, blah, 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 blah. And it's understandable. It's understandable. Nobody has to convince you that you want to kill whoever has sexually abused your child. You know, and kill is minor in compared to what some other people may do. But she did not compose herself. She did not let the police do their job. She decided to take matters into her own hands. So she shows up at this guy's apartment complex with a group of people. Three of the people are armed. So already, you could tell something ain't gonna go right. So the girl identified the fact that the guy did live there and the apartment. So see, that makes me think that there was something voluntary. Now, I'm not saying that this should have changed anything as far as her anger, but this lets me know, like, how you know the apartment, but mama don't know the apartment. Because if this was like a family friend, then mama would know where he lived, and you wouldn't have to tell her anything. So she and her group knock on the door. When he comes out the side of the building, they chase him, but he ends up back in the apartment through another door. So the people that were with her shot through the door and hit him in the chest. The brother on the other side, where he's on the side with him, the assailant, the molester, let's call him the molester, he shoots back from inside the apartment. Oh, Lord have mercy. So one of the guys that was with the mom, 19 years old, he's shot and killed. Oh, boy. They all go to court. Now everybody locked up. They all go to court. And now she faces life in prison, with the possibility of parole. This was her sentencing, plus 5 years. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, the molester, he survived. He survived the shot in the chest. And his case is pending. And he faces charges of statutory rape, child molestation, and sexual exploitation of children. And that's probably because he had the video. So they figure, you know, you passing this around. So, you know, I wanted to squeeze this one in today because, again, you know, the Bible tells us, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And I promise you, every time we step outside the box and we take matters into our own hands, no matter how small, no matter how large, we always end up behind the eight ball. Well, baby, you took your people over there to fight a fight. A 19-year-old is dead because they're going over there to take care of this problem with you. So now you're responsible for that death, because had you let God be God, somebody wouldn't have died because of you and you taking them over there. So you also have to live with that. So not only do you have to live with that, but now you got a 12-year-old daughter whose mom is in jail for the rest of her life, possibly, because you don't know when her last day will be. She may, you know, live to, you know, see parole, but she may not. And she's 42 years old. So life, you know, could be anything. Could be she could live to be 92. But even when she comes out, she'll get parole, possibly. But even if she gets parole, that's still 5 years on top of whatever the parole, the post time is. So if they give her 10 years parole, it's going to be 15. Anything in addition. So I don't know, y'all. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Let the Lord do the Lord's work. Oh, all right. Well, listen, we're going to have a guest on today, someone that I've been knowing for a little bit. I've been knowing him for a long bit. He just ain't been knowing Stephanie. But I'm very happy to have him on. You know his wife well. We get our Tress Talk with Gertie, and she's been doing a phenomenal job. We also had Minister Gertie on with us a few Tuesdays ago. Remember, she was ill, and she was awesome. She was talking really low. But we've really been enjoying her. Well, she's partnered with Pastor Michael Gordon. And, see, he's agreed to join us. And let's say good morning to Pastor Mike, as he's called. Good morning, Pastor Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. I am well. I am well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. I'm excited because I don't got to go to work tomorrow.
All right, now. I'm with you. I'm with you. I ain't got to go to work either. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Mike. Thank you for joining us. And as we do here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, Pastor Steph gives the news. As you heard, you joined us nice and early, so you got a chance to hear all of the news that I covered this morning. And I kind of chat with you a little bit, so we have a little brief conversation about what you think about these stories, as I call them. We just got our Pastor KL, who joined us for the last story, and our brother Al just joined us, so he hasn't heard any of the stories. So I'm going to do a real quick recap, and then you can tell me what you think, and we'll take your brief thoughts, and we'll move on to Pastor KL and brother Al, and then we'll come back around for our main topic of the day. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All righty. So we talked about this first black-owned children's bookstore in North Carolina, this couple who wanted to just give the people, you know, just an opportunity to see and read all of the authors and illustrators who had stories of children, positive stories. They started selling the books out of the back of their car. They decided to put up a brick and mortar, and then was faced with all of this hatred. They've got a barrage of threats. They say for months they've been dealing with these threats. They said that every time they tried to dodge the threats and kind of look at it a different way, or, you know, protect their store, protect their children, they said it even got as bad as death threats. Now, this is a bit disturbing to me. You got death threats. You got threatening phone calls. You got the fact that they call talking about, we're watching your son do this and that in the store. They've gotten hate mail. This is a bit extreme to me for a children's bookstore. I don't know. I'm not going down to no south to live. That's it. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't know. What's your thought with all of this?
So a couple of red flags came up for me. First off, it's a children's bookstore, so I don't understand why the death threats, because it's black-owned. Okay, if that's the case, then as owners and as a black community, we tend to run to the church. Where is the church? Where are they connected to a church? Are they connected to some type of community organization? I would definitely get the church involved, find out where the NAACP chapter is, get them involved, get the local police. And if the local police don't want to listen, go to the governor. Like, there's so many different ways that this could play out. Call Crump. Call Shelton. They will come down and, you know, do what they got to do. Or if for me, some people call me Pastor Knockout because I'll knock you out first and then ask questions, right? That's just me being raised in the Bronx, right? So there's so many ways that they can go about this. You know, put bulletproof glass on the front of the shop. In North Carolina, you can bear arms. So I know that's not traditionally the way in which, you know, some of us were raised, but at the end of the day, you got to protect your house. You got to protect your own. I would have never left. I would have made some noise down there and let them know we not in 1945. That's just me. But they did what was best for them, and they decided to move. The people who were making those threats clearly either wanted the bookstore, or they just didn't want black folk in there. And you know, I would have then called my friends, hey, y'all need to buy this house, it's for sale, and we would flood the neighborhood.
Interesting.
That's how we flood the neighborhood. Let them know, listen, y'all mess with the wrong black folk.
All right.
We are too strong in number. We are too educated today to let these little threats and phone calls and emails, I mean, not even emails, they're mailing. So you can tell this is somebody old. Who's mailing death threats?
Right.
or making phone calls. Like, what? No, this is a different time of day. You know,
absolutely.
I remember my dad telling me this story. I remember my dad telling me the story of one of our own pastors. I won't call his name, you know, for confidentiality. But he was in the military years ago. And in Florida, he walked into a bar. This is before he became a pastor. He walked into a bar to have a drink. And these white dudes was like, yo, you don't belong here. And he was like, what? And he turned around and gave the guy one hit in his face. Bang. Everybody cleared out the bar. And they was like, they never knew
absolutely
a black man to hit a white man. But then they realized he was Jamaican. He was a yardie, and he was like, nah, we're not having that. And they earned his – they knew. When he walked them streets, you crossed the street. So sometimes it just takes that one hit to wake people up aside. Let's leave the bookstore alone.
All righty. I like that. All right, we're talking about Al Sharpton and Eric Adams, Mayor Eric Adams, heading over to Rikers, where 11 inmates were going to be baptized. So Eric Al Sharpton baptizes them, along with Mayor Eric Adams. And he claims that he did this. He says, I recommitted myself to my faith, our city, and to our shared efforts to give all New Yorkers a second chance to succeed, X, Y, and Z. Everybody knows my journey. I went from being arrested to being elected mayor. I use that story to remind these young men that where they are is not who they are. And for the first time in their lives, they had a mayor who does not look down on them, but rather sat side by side with them as we recommit ourselves to the right path. What's your thoughts?
So I heard your leading thoughts on this. Unfortunately, we beg to differ. So
okay.
Not unfortunately. I've worked with Adams. I know Eric Adams. I know several key folks that work within his cabinet, one of which Pastor Gilman Rose. And we have worked with Adams when he was bar president of Brooklyn. Now, here's the thing. What I learned in politics, you can't please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
absolutely
will always have something to say, whether it's good or bad. The media has been portraying Adams in such a light and just just hitting them with all negative, and they have not said anything positive about the man. A couple of minutes ago, you also mentioned, oh, you know, we have he hasn't done anything good, and oh, he's just black, and so on and so on. That's your opinion. However, I've seen the good side of the things that he has done.
Okay.
And I'll go down
okay.
the list of some of the stuff. One in particular, during COVID, people were saying, oh, my God, the garbage. The city looks like when it was in the 70s, is the city's crumbling. If you look now, we don't have that problem anymore. He cleaned that up.
Okay.
Nobody said anything. He is the first mayor to give millions of dollars to churches, mosques, imams, you name it. He has flipped the script and said the only way New York City can get back to a better place or stop crime is if the church get involved. There has been no other mayor that I know in my years of being on this planet in New York City have given the amount of money that Eric Adams have given. Matter of fact, he started a faith-based initiative office just so that the churches can now have a say and navigate politics, navigate who to talk to get funding for food, to get funding for education for kids, and the list goes on. But that don't
okay.
hit the news. Nobody talks about that.
Okay, okay.
So he has done a lot of things. In terms of Rikers, they're trying to shut Rikers down. I'm not going to say for what because
that.
I don't want
right.
I don't want nobody coming after me, but I know that it's for monetary gain while they're shutting it down. And he's like, no, you can't shut it down because where are you going to put these people? So there's a lot of things that he is facing. Remember, he inherited a whole lot of mess from the previous year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
they all
so
do.
When we
it
talk
doesn't
about
matter what office
not
you
eating,
go in.
Right. Right, but when you talk about people not, you know, not being able to eat, that's something that goes that's been going on for years.
Okay.
Politics is politics. But as he is going along, he can't right every single wrong. And I'm not expecting him to. You know, so I am
okay.
holding him accountable to make sure that certain things do happen. But at the end of the day, he only has 4 years.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
that's like saying, you know, he only has 4 years. So that's just my take on that. Now, was it a publicity stunt? I am not here to judge anybody. I don't have a hell or a kingdom to put anybody into. So he's always talked about, you know, doing right or trying to set things right and reinventing yourselves, especially for guys or women that have gone into the system. So I have to respect him on that.
All righty.
That's
all
my,
right. Well, thank
that's
you.
That's my take on
thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Thank you for clearing that up. So we need somebody out in the front showing all the things that can be done and have been done. All right. Wait, I got to get to this last one. Thank you for shedding light on that, giving us a different inside understanding.
Yeah,
so we
yeah,
got
yeah.
this mama.
No
we got this mama who decides to go against the advice of the police department, and we know it's hard. You know, she saw this video of her 12-year-old being sexually abused by the 21-year-old. She gets the daughter to point out the apartment he lives in. She takes her and her peoples over there. They get into a gunfight, if you will, and now mom is sentenced to life in jail with the possibility of parole. They don't say at what point, plus 5 years. And the premise is do not take matters in your own hand. Let God be God. And sometimes it's hard, very hard. But what's your take on this story?
See, again, you know, is Pastor Mike answering this question or Mike Gordon? That's, you know.
Well, it's up to you. It's up to you. Whoever you want to answer this question,
again,
it's on you.
So again, I'm not your, you know, conventional, traditional pastor. So I got two young girls, 11 and 8. And if this happened to any one of them, it would be problems.
Absolutely.
Period. Point blank and simple. I'm protecting my house, I'm protecting my girls, and they would not be living in the same building or block as me. That's number one. They would get the hint real fast, let's get out of here. But I don't want it to be all violence, so I sympathize with the family. Again, they could have went a different route. They could have called the police, let the police handle it, or hire a lawyer or something to that effect. Or, again, go to your local congressman or assemblyman or to your local church. There's so many doors and avenues of people that are waiting to help us, but we tend to not think of those options, and we just say, you know what? Nah, I'm gonna just do me, and I'm gonna light this house on fire, right? But now she got life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, in a way, I would have done the same thing, do my time and get out, or I would have had to call some goons to handle it for me, you know. But listen, everybody's different. But at the end of the day, there are options. And they could have went about it a different way instead of someone losing their life. I think you said he was 18?
19, yeah.
A 19-year-old now is gone, and he don't have a chance to repent or to say, you know what, let me change my life. There's always an opportunity in all these situations for people to change their lives. But it's how fast we move on it and how swift we want judgment. Sometimes these things happen to kind of wake us up and cause us to wait on God to do what he has to do. But we don't tend to do that. We just like, you know, take matters into our own hands, and these are the consequences.
Yeah, unfortunately so. You know, there's just some things that we cannot undo. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor Mike. We're going to pass this baton over to our Pastor KL. We're coming back to talk about our other topic. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Smith. How are you today?
I am doing okay, thank you. After such a hearty good morning. Oh, my. You helped me feel just a little bit.
I just have one question for you before you start.
Yes.
Where is this realm that you get all these gangster pastors from? I'm scared to get on your show now. I didn't know whether you said his name was Pastor Mike or you said Pass the Mike. Like he was one of the rappers from the Bronx. I was like, well, when is he gonna pass
it.
The mic?
I love it. I love the fact that we don't have to praise the Lord and, you know. No, we be boring here. We be straight boring here. So we got this first black-owned children's bookstore in North Carolina. All they wanted to do was sell books, and they specifically said they wanted to sell books for children that were positive books. And they were really gung-ho about doing this, excited, and now they're dealing with death threats. They're dealing with hate mail. They're dealing with people watching their kids at the store, can tell them what the kids were wearing, what the kids were doing, all of this kind of stuff. And I said, I ain't moving down to no South. They can have that. I'm not going down there. It's just a bit much. Well, I don't know. What's your thought?
I think it's kind of crazy. I think the fact that we're not selling Dick and Jane books is messing people up. You know, we got the Boquita and Bubba books, you know, and they can't relate to it. You know, they can't hang out. You know, at any time we try to do something a little different, you know what I'm saying, to uplift our people, they have a problem with that because they have to realize that they are not the majority anymore. You know, they don't rule us anymore. We have our own mind. We have our own goals. You know, there's things that we want to do as a people. But as long as we stay in the barrel as crabs, then they'll support us because they know that we won't get higher than them. As soon as we want to do something else or extend ourselves, then there's a problem.
All right. interesting way of looking at this thing here. All right, Pastor KL. Al Sharpton goes to Rikers to baptize 11 individuals, and Mayor Eric Adams is in tow, who also gets baptized. And you know how we always talk about here on It's Due Time. You know, we see what we see, we hear what we hear. And what's your thought? You know, is it a photo op? Is it, you know, he's saying, you know, he's showing the guys that, hey, you know, I can, if I did it, you can too. This doesn't have to be the end of your journey, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it's a great story, you know, and listening to Pastor Mike, you know, with his experience with him, you know, it correlates with the story. I think it's a publicity stunt, if you ask me. I mean, from what I've heard, you know, I'm also from New York, don't live in New York anymore, but every story that I've heard about him has been negative. I haven't heard any of those positive, pretty stories that Pastor Mike has. So I think it's a publicity stunt.
All righty. You know, you have a view of a person who works directly beside these individuals. Let's put it like that, these individuals, because I'm gonna put all of them in a basket, and I'm gonna say that we always hear what we hear, and we don't hear what we don't hear. How do you way out? So we don't all get a personal experience with the president. We don't all. I ain't heard the first thing Kamala Harris has done, but I'm sure the people close to her, they see the great things she's done. How do we handle what we hear or what we don't hear? How do we form an opinion? Because we got to form an opinion. Because if they ever think to run again, whether it's bad press or whether it's the hidden stuff. You know, I'm gonna come back on my, Al. I had right.
Al
finishes. I'm gonna say why I ask this question, but what's your thought on that?
I think it's difficult because, you know, for a lot of us we're visual. You know, for a lot of us we want to see and we want to hear. You know, when we have to, it's like you have a wonderful flat screen TV. And the person's talking, but the sound went out. So though it looks good, you don't hear nothing they're saying. They could be cussing you out. They can be doing all types of stuff. The picture looks good, but I can't hear you. So I don't know whether you're positive, whether you're negative, whether I'm for you, whether I'm not for you, simply because you haven't been heard.
Okay, interesting analogy. All right, thank you for that. All right, we have this woman who, you know, took matters in her own hands after she heard her or saw the video of her 12-year-old being sexually abused by this 22-year-old. And we all got girls, so we all know where our first minds would go. And like I said, they went over there with guns. People would be... could dream of some things that they would do with this 22-year-old other than just shooting them and putting them out their misery. What say you about the movement opposed to allowing God to do what God's going to do here, taking matters in your own hands?
Well, first of all, when you left with your people, you knew you was in life. You've already decided that my life was no longer worth living on the free land. Because you knew what you were doing were wrong. And you were so emotional that you allowed the spirit to come on the inside and to control you. You know, so it's not surprising, or it's not now, woe is me or what did I do? You knew you were going to get life had you been caught. And at that point, you didn't care if you got caught. My problem is that you brought so many innocent people in it. From your emotional rage, you know, you brought a 19-year-old who had not even started living life, you know, and all these folks got caught up in your emotions. You know, now the person that you was protecting, the 12-year-old, is without a mother. So where is she mentally right now? You know, the Lord would always fight your battles. He will always fight your battles. Take your burdens to the altar and leave them there. There is a plethora of scriptures that will talk about how God will take care of you. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. I mean, there's things that can encourage you to know that God is going to do it. You know, but when you allow the natural to war against the spirit and the natural wins, you lose all the time.
All righty. Thank you for joining us, Pastor KL. We'll be back to continue the conversation on our next topic. But let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop one more time of the morning. Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. Oh, we're talking about this bookstore out in North Carolina. They packed up. They said it's not over, but they ain't happening. They ain't staying there. What's your thought, Brother Al?
Well, unfortunately, I would have to be like Tupac. My folks will make sure all your kids don't grow. I got to be like Tupac. But, excuse me. I don't think they should have let them ran them off. You gave them exactly what they wanted. They wanted you out, and you gave it to them. And they should have stood and fight. Like you said, talk to your councilman. You know, Pastor Mike said it. Pastor Knockout said it. I like that. I like that. Like, yeah, boy, that's a weird thing. Me and Pastor Mike got to talk. I got to change my name. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, they gave them exactly what they wanted. Reach out to your congressman. Reach out to everybody, you know what I'm saying, and fight that thing. You know, don't let them just run you out. And they gave them what they want. So I think they should have just stood and fight.
Okay.
And Pastor Kale said it, hit it right on the head. Every time we come up with an idea, us people of color, we come up with an idea or we do something, we allow people to take that dream away from us. You know, now stay in the fight. It's time to stay in the fight. Stop the running.
Okay. Al Sharpton, Mayor Eric Adams, the 11 inmates, baptism. What say you?
Well, I hope it's sincere. You know, it's so hard, you know, because like you say, we don't hear, you know, with Mayor Adams, you know, I listen to his radio thing on Sunday while I'm on the way going to church and, you know, and people call and stuff. And, you know, I believe he's trying really hard. But, again, because he's a man of color, too, you know, they don't say anything good about him. You always hear the negative. So I think it's up to us as voters and stuff. Okay, let's look into it. Let's look up and see what he has done. You know, let's look up and see what he has done. You know, and also, too, he's held accountable for things he hasn't done. But, again, he can't do everything. You know what I'm saying? He got the office and things just messed up. So he only got 4 years to try to clear at least some of it up. So I think it's our duty to do our research. Like I heard you mention about Kamala Harris. I have heard nothing about this woman since she won. That don't mean she haven't done nothing good, you know, and they need to focus on when I do something good, put it out there and let these people know. I think they need to tell their team, I do something good, put it out there and let these people know what I'm doing. So I think they need to do that, too, as well as us doing our research.
Okay. You know, that's where my head went, Brother Al. That's where my head went. You know, listen, any office, any job, and I've said this here on this due time before, even when we go into a normal job where someone else was there before us, we're inheriting a mess. That's why that person ain't there probably anymore. My thing is, if you feel that the only publicity that I've gotten, because I'm going to be honest, that's all I've ever seen. I have not heard. I ain't got no time to go do no research on nobody. I'm going to be honest. I have no time to do no research. So now everything I see, everything I hear, everything I know is this, or this. My thing is, put your stuff out there. Get your people to put your stuff out there. I'm not saying that no one has done anything. I'm sure they all, Kamala Harris, she didn't did hers. Biden, as much as they smashing him, we ain't seen nothing he didn't did either. We voted him in, for those of us who did. We voted him in. We haven't seen anything. This is your job. When you see media smashing you, it's your job to get your people to put you out there so we know what you do. We can't take no time to be doing no research on how much you done did. All I know is this is what we are facing. We are facing huge problems. Now, this is your job to say, you know what, the biggest newspapers or the biggest news outlets or the biggest news channels or the biggest medias are not doing their job. We have always heard that media only brings out the worst, and we know that they do. That's what keeps people reading. If it wasn't for It's Due Time, I never looked at the news. I never read the news. I don't want to know what's going on. And it sounds silly, but I don't mean that nothing. But it's because, again, all you see is a bunch of negative. There are times I get on here, I don't have anything good to talk about. So it's up to you to get your people out there, to let people know what you're doing. There are people who will shine. If not, then you're going to have to push harder and make it happen so that other people know. All the people know the bad, then here, I need to let people know the good. For those who know the good, y'all need to be writing newsletters. Y'all need to be putting on the bullhorn, and that's what he needs to do. So this is what he did. So where we may be seeing it as a publicity stunt, this may be one of the good things that we hear about. Go and encourage the guys at Rikers. It is supposed to be where you men get in there, not just Al Sharpton, not just Mayor Eric Adams, but the Al Bynums, the K.L. Fraziers, the Antonio Farguses. All of you need to get in there and encourage these young men and men, that especially Christian men. Get up in there, visit more, do whatever, write more, whatever it is, to push. Where's the church in the lives of these people? We are also blocked from getting in there. They let 2 and 3 people up in there, and I know this because I did my homework. I tried to get up in there. I even had a male try to get up in there. They pick and choose who they want. It is not as easy to get up into the prison system. So where we're looking at it and it's saying, you know what, this is a publicity stunt. It may not be a publicity stunt more than it is the very few times we see him doing something positive. So, again, if he's been doing some things great, I would love to hear about it more, because that does help me understand that people are not suffering. All I hear are the people that are saying, listen, I'm going and I'm applying and I don't get. I'm going and I make $5 extra, I don't get. So, unfortunately, that's all we do get a chance to either experience or we get a chance to hear. So let, you know, hopefully now they'll start pouring more stuff out of the good things that he's doing so we can give him his, you know, hands up, give him his props and do what we need to do and vote for him possibly the next go round. All right, Brother Al, we got to close this thing down. We got this mama who went for hers, taking care of her business with her daughter, and we know how difficult it would have been to stay in your seat if this were your own daughter. Having 3 daughters of my own, I definitely get it. However, unfortunately, her move did not land her where she would have hoped. Let's put it like that. What say you, Brother Al?
She allowed her emotions to take over, you know, and now you're no good to the girl at all because she already has been sexual, you know, whatever happened with her. And now mom and friends went over and shot and killed her. Now y'all going to jail. So now she got nobody. So I do understand, because that's your child, and we do everything possible to protect our children. But you went about it the wrong way, and you dragged innocent, crazy people with you. And your mindset was, let's go take this guy down. So when you made that decision that I'm getting a gun and I'm going over there, you already welcomed the enemy in. You already told the enemy, okay, come with me. We get ready to go do this. And the enemy was like, okay, cool. So you just, you know, that was just bad. So now the girl still going to suffer because she got nobody now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I thought about, Brother Al. My thought was, now you have a 12-year-old who is out here, and now you have no control over what she does. So if, for argument's sake, this young girl went and she found her way to the 22-year-old, if you know what I mean, you know, and she went willingly, if you will, and I'm not saying she wasn't brave enough, so please do not misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm hoping y'all know where I'm going with this. You know, again, she wasn't snatched or whatever, have you. You know, now you have no control over what she does, because now you're going to be in jail for quite a long time. Hopefully whoever's hands she's in, who's ever caring for her, you know, will help to really do some, you know, good work in her life, because it, unfortunately, it won't be you. And again, you know, we know how emotional this must have been. Again, like I said, I got three girls here, and ain't no way in the world I would want to sit down and pat my feet and wait. But clearly a move was made preemptively, because she, the way she must have gone is what they, why they must have asked her to just, you know, don't let your emotions get the best of you, you know, stay there. And remember, she was able to go to his house. So where was the arrest? Did she wait for them to actually get there before, you know, she wait for them to go before she went? So, you know, there's a lot of questions that are still out there. But unfortunately, the biggest and the saddest issue is that the young lady has no mom right now. And that's definitely not something that I'm sure she was aiming for. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for indulging me on our news. I came across an article where this nanny Helen Burroughs, many, many years ago, she wrote the 12 things the Negro must do for himself. And she bought this, well, not bought, but I wrote, she bought it. No, I had it right. She wrote it, and someone bought it as cheap as 10 cents. That shows you how long ago this was written. And I wanted to know what you guys thought about some of the things that she wrote. So the first thing is on this list. It says, the Negro must learn to put first things first. The first things are education, development of character traits, a trade, and home ownership. The Negro puts too much of his earning in clothes, in food, in show, and in having what he calls a good time. The Negro buys what he wants and begs for what he needs. Woo! All right, we gotta hit it and quit it, because I want to touch on as much as this, and we only got about 10, 15 minutes for this one. All right, come on, Brother Al, hit it. Agree or disagree?
I'm in the middle with that, because I think the first thing first, you should put God first. But I do agree that we buy stuff that's not, that you know, that we really don't need. We get that stuff first before we get anything else.
All righty. Hit it and quit it. Pass the mic. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree 100%. Just like I always tell people, if black folks started buying guns, then we will see stricter gun laws in the country.
All right. Wow. Interesting. Pastor KL, hit it or quit it. Agree or disagree? What you got?
I totally agree. However, I do disagree with Pastor Mike. I'm in an open carry state. Every black person in this state got a gun. And the gun laws is no different.
All righty.
Well,
alrighty.
What I'm saying is that's one state. But what about the country?
Most southern states, well, I understand about the country, but most southern states have open carry law. And most southern states are Trump states. So the open carry law, it's divine to kill us. It's not divine to change the gun laws. It's divine to kill us, to trap us.
It's divine to kill us, right. But however, when you look at us I was raised not to bear arms. I was raised not to buy guns. And that sets me off at a disadvantage. I'm sure almost every black man was raised that way. So what I'm saying is, if we begin to arm ourselves, we will start to see the other side say, hey, 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 let's change the laws, let's change the rules. That's all I'm saying.
All righty, all righty. Here we go. Number two, the Negro must stop expecting God and white folk to do for him what he can do for himself. It is a divine plan, quote unquote, that the strong shall help the weak, but even God does not do for man what man can do for himself. The Negro will have to do exactly what Jesus told the man to do, carry his own load, take up your bed and walk. Brother Al, agree or disagree?
I disagree with that because, again, yes, we have to do our part, but again, that's why we can lean on Jesus. He tells us to bring all our cares to him. He tells us to bring our burdens to him. He said that's one reason for him to help us. And we do, I agree with it on some of us, we do have to do our part too, but now, don't stop relying on Jesus. Cut that part out.
Okay. Pastor Mike, agree or disagree?
I disagree because our strength comes from the Lord. So no matter what, he got to be the one to lead and direct and push us in the direction we need to go.
All righty. Pastor KL, agree or disagree?
Well, I'm in the middle because while you know, God can order your steps. You know, he also helps those who help themselves. You know, if you're constantly relying on mama and daddy and God, you're never doing anything for yourself. You know, so you have to get out there yourself and attempt to do something. If you meet God halfway, he'll meet you the other half. But if you just sit down on your seat and do nothing, that's exactly what Jesus will do, do nothing.
All righty. Point number three. The Negro must keep himself, his children, and his home clean and make the surrounding in which he lives comfortable and attractive. He must learn to run his community up, not down. We can segregate by law. We integrate only by living. Civilization is not a matter of race. It is a matter of standards. Believe it or not, someday some race is going to outdo the Anglo-Saxon completely. It can be the Negro race if the Negro gets enough sense. Woo! Civilization goes up and down that way. What say you, Brother Al? Agree or disagree?
Agree with some of it. Race is running. You know, people always kill me with this. It's not race. Yes, it is. Oh, my God. But these people got to take the blinders off and see. But, you know, we do need to keep ourselves clean and say, I agree with that. But when you say it's not about race, I disagree with that part because it's always about race. Always.
All righty. Pastor Mike.
I agree. I grew up in the projects. And when you came into my house, you thought you were living, you know, on Fifth Avenue somewhere. Because my parents believed in, you know, keeping the house tidy and clean and your surroundings clean. And so our floor was always clean. And people marveled at it, like, wow, how come the rest of the floors ain't clean? But, again, it's based on what you want to see your community and what you want to see your environment to look like. If you don't have the interest, then the projects will still look like the projects. But if you have the interest of bettering yourself and the people around you, then you start to make it look presentable.
Okie dokie. Pastor KL.
I definitely agree. You do not have to be a product of your surroundings. You know, my store is in the middle of four different housing projects. But if you come into my store, it looks like Macy's. So, I mean, it depends on what you want for you and what you want for your children and what you want for your family.
All righty. Number four, the Negro must learn to dress more appropriately for work and for leisure, knowing what to wear, how to wear it, when to wear it, and where to wear it are earmarks of common sense, culture, and also an index of character. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, first, before I say that, Pastor Mike, did you have mirrors on the wall up in the project? Because I have mirrors on my wall. Mirrors on the wall. That's the project say. We have mirrors on the wall.
Man, we had so many mirrors, we thought you was at an amusement park.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what we did in the project. The mirror was the thing. But, back to that question on that. Yes, you know, and you know, some people think I'm crazy about it, but I hate to see a man with a nice suit on and sneakers. I don't care if the sneakers is matching. I don't care if that's the style. That just, you know, you going into a business, you going to work, and you in the business, and you got on a suit and sneakers. That drives me crazy. So I think, yes, we do need to know how to dress appropriate for certain situations, and how to dress for the situation. So I agree with that.
Okay. All right. Pass the mic.
I agree 110% that we you know, you dress how you want people to treat you is how you should carry yourself. So if you carry yourself like a thug, I'm gonna treat you like a thug. If you carry yourself like a businessman, I'm gonna treat you like a businessman. One thing I learned, people always ask, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" Based on what you tell them, that determines how they're gonna treat you. So if you carry yourself before they can even ask the question like a businessman, that respect is gonna be there.
All righty. Pastor KL.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with it. Being in retail, you know, I see people coming in interviews with a robe on, with some slippers on, with a bonnet on, you know, with their pants hanging down, you know, and the crazy part about it, their resume reflects what they look like. So sometimes you say, well, maybe they just mispronounce this word or it was a type error. But when you come in, you see Boquita. You see her. They named you Boquita for a reason, which is sad.
Wow. Number five, the Negro must make his religion an everyday practice and not just a Sunday to go meeting emotional affair. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. You got to make that a practice. We talk about that all the time. You know, you got the person that go to church on Sunday, and that's it. After Sunday go, they back to that mean person that been through that Monday through Saturday. So I think you do have to, you know, this is what you believe in, you practice it. You know, you look at the Muslims, you know, some of them, they pray every day 12 o'clock. They did it so much that now every job has to respect that. I don't care what they're doing or whatever, 12 o'clock, you got to allow that man to go pray or that woman to go pray. So we definitely need to practice that all the time, not just on Sunday.
All righty. Pass the mic.
I agree 100% as well, that we need to get back to the reverence of the religion that people practice, and we'll see change with that, honestly.
Okie dokie. Pastor KL.
Yes, I definitely agree with this. You know, this is a way of life. This is like putting on your clothes. This is like, you know, brushing your teeth and washing your body. This is part of you. This is just not when Pookie get in jail and all of a sudden you need to find Jesus because you need a favor. You know, this is something that you do every day. And, you know, as the old folks used to say, for God I live, for God I die. You know, this is what that's about.
Alrighty. The Negro must highly resolve to wipe out mass ignorance. The leaders of the race must teach and inspire the masses to become eager and determined to improve mentally, morally, and spiritually, and to meet the basic requirements of good citizenship. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. You know, I always said, if you don't have any morals, nothing else matters. Because if you ain't got no morals, nothing else can happen. So you got to have those morals and standards. You know, so I definitely agree with that. You know, we have to have those and stand by it. Like you said, it's not just a one-time thing. This is how you should be living.
All righty. Pass the mic.
I agree. All right. That's it. I just agree.
Oh, okay. All righty. Pastor KL.
Yes, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. We have to get out of the mentality of the crabs in the barrel. You know, this is why we can't go forward.
Okay. The Negro must stop charging his failures up to his color and to white people's attitude. The truth of the matter is that good service and conduct will make senseless race prejudice fade like mist before the rising sun. Brother Al.
I kind of didn't understand that too well. I'm listening, but I didn't get that. I said that one kind of went over my head, so.
Okay. So in other words, some people say that, you know, hey, I'm experiencing this because I'm black and, you know, the white people keep me down and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, I got it. Some of that is true, but we have to get past that. No, don't let it keep you down. Like the story we just talked about with the bookstore, you know, you let them run you out. You say, you know what? Yeah, I'm experiencing that because I'm colored. Yeah, I know that. But you know what? I'm going to fight and keep strength and believe in God, and he's going to push me forward.
Okay. Pastor Mike.
I agree.
Okay. Pastor KL.
I agree as well. I'll leave it right. I'm with Pastor Mike. I'm going to just go past the mic.
You know. All right. The Negro must overcome his bad.
You got to get us back together. That's funny.
What'd you say?
You got to get me back on. You got to get me back on with these fellas. These dudes are funny, man. These dudes are funny.
Okay.
Hey,
the
look,
Negro
she
must
said, Pastor
overcome.
Mike, I'm getting ready to start rapping.
Ow! Shush. The Negro must
I'm
overcome
sorry.
Talking over the host. Okay, sorry. The Negro must overcome his bad job habits. What say you, Brother Al?
Yeah, I guess when you're saying bad job habits, like, again, some color folks coming in late. You got an hour lunch. You're taking an hour and a half. You know, yeah, you gotta stop that nonsense. You know, get rid of them bad habits. Create good habits.
All righty. Pastor Mike, it says his bad job habits are absenteeism, funerals to attend, or a little business to look after. Must overcome those bad job habits.
Oh, that's definitely something that I think hurts and cripples us as a people. I pride myself, if somebody tell me 10 o'clock, I'm there 9:50, just to make sure I'm comfortable and ready to do whatever it is that happens at 10. But we have to have that mindset of, you know, if you want success and you want to feel and be better, you got to do better. You know, you got to get rid of that CP time, you know. Like, that should not be a conversation. We got to get rid of that.
All righty. Pastor KL.
Well, let's take it from another angle. We got to get rid of being the drug dealer. You know, the our job habits, but the careers we choose to make. You know, we got to get rid of that stuff because eventually it's going to stunt your family because you're going to get caught. So some of the decisions we make as career goals will hurt us as well.
All righty now. We coming down. He must improve his conduct in public places. Brother Al.
Oh, yes, that's most definitely because, you know, as color folks, we're aggressive. You know, I was talking to, it's so funny, I was talking to my kids in the men's group, and I was telling them about that. We're more aggressive. We're going to store, the cashier say something, and we're like, all right, you what? That's what you're doing? Meet me outside. We get loud and get crazy. Well, a white person will sit there and be like, you know what? I need to talk to your manager. Where's your manager? I need to see your manager. So we need to do our conduct better. Stop being loud and obnoxious out in public and, you know, yeah, we definitely need to improve that, definitely.
All right. Pass the mic.
Say that one more time. What was the thought? I'm sorry.
He must improve his conduct in public places.
Oh, yeah. That's a must. I mean, you know, we should sometimes not feed into the stereotypes and teach and show others that, hey, we are the standard and y'all need to follow behind us. At the end of the day, everything originated and started where? With the black man. But, of course, society and the narrative is not being portrayed that way. We need to get back to letting people know that we are kings and queens of the Most High.
Okay, dokie. Pastor KL.
Good answer, Pastor. Good answer, Pastor. You finally talking. Good answer. Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm definitely in agreement. I mean, again, I work in a store, and you will see how these people will flip off because they throw those one price and, you know, they come up here and they're screaming and yelling. I mean, we can be, you know, bougie ghetto. You know, they think they bougie, but they really ghetto. So, you know, they can be bougie ghetto at times.
All righty. The Negro must learn how to operate business for people, not for Negro people only. To do business, he will have to remove all typical earmarks, business principles, measure up to accepted standards, and meet stimulating competition graciously. In fact, he must learn to welcome competition. Brother Al.
Yeah, I agree with the welcome competition. But I'm a little iffy with we need to operate business for everyone. Yeah, your business should be for everyone, but how many stores you got out here that's owned by white people? They don't even make their stuff for it. They don't even want to get their stuff, you know? So I agree with some of it and some of it I don't.
All righty. Pastor Mike.
I disagree. Again, we have set the bar and the standard. A lot of the genius work behind a lot of these companies, a black man gave the whether the slogan or the idea. So we don't get the credit. Again, it's all about the narrative, what's being told. A lot of things we have created and have set the bar, but they have taken credit for it. So I disagree.
All righty. Pastor KL.
Well, I agree because it's already hard for us to get into business. It's hard for us to open that store. And they're already against us as the bookstore. So now, you know, you get the white folks who want to come and give us a chance, and we got Biz Markie or somebody playing on the radio. You know, now they're uncomfortable. So we've lost that customer. You know, so I think we have to be diversified in order to win. The white folks are going to win anyway. All you got to do is open the store. We already have things against us. So we got to make it more appetizing for everyone.
All righty. Oh, this has been one great conversation. I want to thank my due time crew, my men, for taking us into a thought-provoking weekend. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for joining us. And we're going to have you again. Don't worry. You're going to be back to maybe not with these two men, but definitely on the Due Time Show. Thank you so much.
You.
And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
Thank you for joining Pastor the Mike.
That's right. I was getting ready to start rapping. Abraham was the father of Isaac.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Good night, guys. Good night, guys. Have a great day. All righty. All right, let's get this benediction. Where are we? Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. What a moment. Good stuff. A lot to think about. You know, first of all, you know, this piece was written back in the 1900s. So to constantly hear the Negro was interesting. interesting. The other thing that I found very interesting was, you know, there were things that was written, it was written way back then, but look at how it's still an issue today. You know, the Negro must learn to put first things first. You know, we have a problem with that. We have a problem with prioritizing. We have a problem with making sure we take care of business first and we play later. That is definitely still on the table. The Negro must stop expecting God and white folk. None of the guys talked and kind of dove into the white folk to do for him what he can do for himself. And, you know, to me, when you say, well, the white folk or, you know, the white man kept me out, that's almost like saying you expected the white man to do something for you. You know, I always say there's two ways of saying everything, and that would be one way. You know, of course we have to expect God to do what he does. And, you know, I think it was Brother Al who said, you know, yeah, we have a hard time letting God be God first. You know, yes, faith without works is dead. We can't expect for God to do the whole thing and we do nothing. So we've got to do our part. I mean, that's just kind of mindless. We can't sit at home and ask God for a job, but yet we ain't leaving the couch. All right? The Negro must keep himself, his children, and his home clean and make the surrounding in which he lives comfortable and attractive. One of the things that has always killed me about the projects is most people in the projects live like the projects, like they're living in the projects. And, you know, that was one of the things I couldn't wait to get away from. You know, you peeing in the elevator and, you know, you don't take care of your space. And, you know, it's sad because we all have to live here. You're living here because you cannot afford to live in a home, you know, where people are paying mortgage, and because that's a huge responsibility. Why not take care of what you have? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that concept. The Negro must learn to dress more appropriately for work and for leisure. I'm in a complete agreement with Brother Al. You know, why do we have on a suit and sneakers? You're half dressed. I'm sorry, it's not a full look. I don't care how comfortable it may be. You know, do like the women used to do. You used to wear your sneakers to work, and when you got to work, you changed and you put your shoes on. No, that is the look. What happens to the suit with the ball cap? Which way you want to go? Do you want to go leisure or do you want to go dressed up? We have a hard time with that. And here's the problem. We are infamous. All we need to see is one or two people do it. I will never forget. What's his name? Simmons. Russell Simmons was the one who was flagged with going to one of those upscale award shows with the ball cap. After that happened, everybody and their mama wanted to wear the ball cap. It was an upscale piece. After that, a ball cap is still a ball cap no matter what you put it with. It is still a ball cap. The Negro must highly resolve to wipe out mass ignorance. Yes, each one teach one. We are not going to be able to wipe out mass ignorance by one of us getting on a platform and everybody's going to change. We have to do it on a large scale as well as a small incremental thing. We're going to have to teach your children. Let your children teach their children. Let your, you know, next door neighbor teach your next door neighbor. Teach the children in the church. Teach the children in the school. Teach the children on the block. That helps to wipe out the mass ignorance. All right? What else we got? The Negro must overcome his bad job habits. Pastor KL and I talk about this all the time, coming from being a human resource manager. Whoa, some of the stuff that you would see, and guess what? It was us most times. It wasn't only us, but it was us most times. I'm like, yo, really, y'all going to come to work and show these people this? You know, we've got to remember, again, that's how they look at us. Half the time, they don't even really feel like we need to be there. And are we going to give them a reason to continue to say what we say, what they say? Oh, he must improve his conduct in public places. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. You know, we're going to have to definitely remember, you know, people are, my father used to always say, he said, people are always watching you. So no matter what, he used to always say, make sure when you leave the house, you are on your best behavior because somebody is always watching you. And to this day, I'm still saying that the same way my mother said, you ain't got no friends. You know, that's the same thing. I'm still teaching my daughters, and they're adults, and my granddaughter. I don't care what happens. Make sure you remember somebody's always watching you. And the sad part about it is we seem to forget that God is always watching us. God is watching us. So when we think, you know, we didn't got over, we think that, you know, what we do, can nobody see and we got away? No, you didn't get away. Remember that God is always watching. God is always listening. You are not going to get away from that. It's not going to work. You know, people always, well, did so-and-so see me? You know, as long as so-and-so didn't see me, well, it won't really matter whether so-and-so saw you or not because God is always watching. We are always under the watchful eye of God. So keep that in mind. Keep all of those things we talked about today in mind. You know, if you, and I'm going to go back to this point, if you want someone to point out your good points and you don't see them pointing out your good points, then you make it happen. You make it happen. Woe is me. Woe is you who allow the negative narrative to show before you push the positive narrative. You know, I will say this as I'm closing. I remember working at Essence Magazine, and they treated me so mean. Oh, my gosh. They treated me so mean. And I remember one of the young ladies who worked there, she said, you know, she said, you know, you have to, you know, don't hold it against them. You know, they're really nice people. And, you know, you really need to get to know them on a personal level. And I said, no, I don't. I wasn't hired to be their friend. I don't need to know whether they're nice. If I go out to have drinks with them, if I go out to dinner with them, I got to leave this office in order to find out if they're nice. And the only way someone can attest that they're nice is because you hang out with them personally. I was like, no, I'm sorry. That's not my job. My job is to come here and do what I'm paid to do. And until then, I'm not going to do anything short of that. So they need to show me that they're nice, period, if they are really nice. So I go back to saying you need to make sure that everybody knows you're nice. I shouldn't have to be partnered with you to understand you're nice. If the only way somebody knows you're nice is to be friends with you, then, oh, well, a whole lot of people ain't going to know how nice you are. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the men, for coming through big time and helping set us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us until Sunday, God spares, where we're in the Word Prayer Project room. Come on in the room and see what we're praying about. Join us, hold hands and hold hearts together. Until then, I love you.